yes, 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 yes. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. No, that's not just for Christmas. That's for all the Jesus freaks and all the whoevers that just choose to believe it. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. There ain't none higher. None higher than Him. None. And thank God, right? Or we'd be here for the wrong reason. We'd have to go find something else, right? We'd have to go find out who else is God. Well, how is He God? How is He above the God I know? Because God, our God's perfect. And that there's no flaws in Him, right? Because if He had flaws, He'd be like us, right? We could just worship ourselves, right? Or worship Bill or Bobby or John or whoever, right? Whoever wanted to call themselves God, right? Like Pharaoh did. Thank God He's the highest God. There ain't none higher. So glad to see all your faces. Lots of you here today. Looks good. See some people I haven't seen in a while. I see some visitors, people, maybe you've been going here for a while and I just haven't seen you and don't know you. That happens. I mean, there's people that's gone here for 2 or 3 years and I don't even know their name. So, if I forget your name, please don't leave the church, right? Don't get upset. I'm doing good. Just remember all my kids' names at school. And I see them every day. But if you're new here, you never been here before, we would like to honor you. If this is your first time to ever be here, we know you could have gone anywhere else, but you came here, and we are so thankful. But if you are new here, the very first time you've ever been here, if you could please raise your hand while our congregation claps for you. Just raise your hand. Don't be shy. Get it on up there. I saw some of y'all like, you got to raise it with pride. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all here spiritually today? Or I know y'all here physically, but y'all here spiritually for the first time today? Yeah. Good job, AJ. Way to be in the game. If you got one of those little visitor packs, by the way, when you came in, if you got a visitor pack, there's a little card inside of there. If you haven't looked at it yet, please pull out the little cards inside, fill it out, put it in one of these offering buckets before the day's over, and we'll call you one time and say thanks for coming. Ask you if you need anything. You can ask questions or whatever. So it's awesome that we always have visitors here every single time. Every time. So good. All right. Y'all clap your hands for tithes and offerings today. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you find Isaiah, turn to the left about two books. Or just go to the table of contents like I have to do sometimes. I want to read out of a couple of different translations. Today, I want to read you the Message Bible. What it says. You can follow along with me. Chapter 7, verse 11. In the Message Bible, it says, wisdom is better when it's paired with money. Oh boy, talking about money today in the church. Wisdom is better when it's paired with money. Isn't that good to know? I mean, knowing that your wisdom, if you pair it with money the right way, because a lot of churches are afraid to talk about money, right? So if you're new here, we're going to go ahead and give it to you straight, right? We ain't afraid to talk about sin or Jesus or all those other things, homosexuality. We just go ahead and just lay it all out on the table, right? We're not afraid to talk about money because you need money, right? And if you say you don't need money, I've always said it like this. Give it to me. If you don't need it, if you're too religious to have it, then you need to get rid of it, right? You need to get rid of it, because if it's evil and it's in your pocket, you need to get the devil out of your pockets, right? But thank God we don't operate that way here, right? We want you to be blessed. The Bible says that you can be blessed. We want you to have money. Money is not so you can just go and flaunt yourself with it, which is great too. You get to do that stuff too, being a Christian. But the purpose of money, it's just a tool. It's to spread the gospel around the world, which is what's happening today. Wisdom is better when it's paired with money, especially if you get both while you're still living. Now, it's easier to get wisdom than it is to get money. Money requires a little bit of work. You got to sow your time in order to get a paycheck, right? Unless you win the lottery. But we ain't going there. Okay? But wisdom is easy to get. It's about submitting yourself to God and His ways of doing things and listening to what He says. It's easy to get wisdom. Bible says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. It didn't say money was. It said wisdom is. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, it says, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. And then as you read on, it says, double protection, wisdom and wealth. This is the Message Bible, so you're probably not seeing it if you're looking at the King James or the Amplified. It says, plus this bonus, wisdom energizes its owner. Wisdom gives you energy. Why? How is that? I don't even... It's like the Bible says that when you read the word, it comes alive in you. And then the more you read it, the more alive you feel. And the more alive you feel, the more faith you get. And the more faith you get, the more bold you become. And the more bold you become, the more you feel like you can just go out and do anything. Anything. Maybe you walked in depression for a whole month. All of a sudden, you start reading the Bible. All of a sudden, it starts coming alive to you. And then, a few minutes later, all of a sudden, you feel like, what's depression? Depression, what's that? I don't even know what that is. Right? You don't even care what it is because the Word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. When you speak it, it causes your body responds to it supernaturally. I don't know how to explain it. I just know it does, right? And you need to learn that it does, right? It says, take a good look at God's work. Who can simplify and reduce creation's curves and angles to a plain straight line? On a good day, enjoy yourself. On a bad day, examine your conscience. Whew, that's pretty good right there, right? So that we won't take anything for granted. So when you're having a good day, it says celebrate. Celebrate. On a bad day, consider. Consciously consider. If you're having a hard time with money, you need to take time to consider. Take time to contemplate for just a second and say, what is going on with my money? Why do I not have enough? My friends, tithes and offerings is the way to go. It's the way to get there. You want to get out of your financial depression? Start learning how to be a giver. I'm telling you, you cannot screw up giving. You can't mess it up. You cannot mess up being a giver. You can go give and you can accidentally give it to the wrong person and you can't mess it up. Now God said, hey, now wait a minute. You were supposed to give it to this guy. But that's okay. You're giving. You're getting the heart right part, right? You're getting the heart part correct. Had a girl come back to class today. Been gone for a while because she got in trouble a little bit. Had to go remote, right? That's like the famous word now. Like remote, not a TV. It means you're not here. If you're remote, you're not present, right? You're over there. She had had a hard time in school. Got in trouble. We were doing what I call class the other day, what I call a walk and talk. And what we do in walk and talk is we walk around the school. It takes about 5 minutes. To go all the way around the school. I'm like, you can talk to whoever you want about whatever you want. There's no rules. We're going to walk. And it's like the warm-up. It's like the warm-up. Not an exercise, but, a warm-up. You always have warm-ups in class. And I was walking, and she was talking to her friends, and I just kind of snuck over there and started talking to her. And I said, so what did you learn while you were gone? She said, I learned not to be disrespectful. Which is what got her in trouble in the first place, right? I said, what's going to help you more than anything? It's changing your heart. Because if you can change your heart about money, you won't ever have a problem with money ever again. Because if money owns you, then you don't own money. Money's got you. I said, you need to change your heart. And I said, if you can have a change of heart, you won't have these problems anymore. Because your heart is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So everything that's in the heart, like if you got rebellion in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. And if it comes out your mouth and somebody hears it, right, you get in trouble, right? Right, Brewer? You listening to him back there? He's not in trouble. He's a high school football player. I'm just messing with him. But he knows class, right? Are you remote still? You're remote. A lot of the football team want remote. Say, we're having a season this year. We want to have a season. So they had a season. So, but some people get to go remote because they don't know how to act, right? They don't know how to act in class. Or they say the wrong things. And the reason you say the wrong things is because it's in your heart. If you can have a change of heart about money, it will change your life. I guarantee you. It'll change you. Now, verse 18 in the Amplified, it says, "It is good that you take hold of one thing, righteousness, and also not let go of the other, which is wisdom. For the one who fears and worships God with all filled reverence will come forth with both of them." Righteousness and wisdom. You could even put wealth in there if you wanted to. It is good that you take hold of one thing, and that's righteousness. My friend, if you can get a hold of righteousness, righteousness is understanding. When you understand righteousness, when you understand everything that goes along with righteousness, like love and wisdom, when you understand what it means to walk in righteousness, you'll never have a problem ever being a tither. Ever. Because you finally understand that giving is part of the righteousness walk with God. It's part of growing up in God. It's part of being the spiritually mature Christian in God. That's part of the process. I think the last time I preached on learning to love the process. My friends, if you can fall in love with the process, you will learn how to love God. You've got to learn how to love the whole process, including this giving part where you have to separate with your money. Learn to love the process. Learn to walk in wisdom and righteousness and obtain both while you're here. I'm telling you, last year was a bad year. But for me, it was a good year. It was bad and good. It was bad and good in lots of ways. But I'm telling you, if you can take advantage of those, I'm telling you, when bad things happen in the earth, it's an opportunity. The things that you see happening right now are opportunities. They're not for your destruction. They're for your opportunity. And if you can find the diamond in the rough, diamonds don't look like diamonds when they come out. They got to be chiseled on a little bit. And they got to knock off all the stuff that's around them. And then they get purified. And then, you know, they peck on them with, you know, I don't know the process, but they got it. You know, they come out looking like a piece of coal. And then the more you beat on it, the more the diamond starts to show. Bad things in life are opportunities. They're not for your destruction. Obtain wisdom and righteousness and learn how to walk in love, and this money stuff will never be a problem for you. Ever, ever, ever again. Ever. Y'all come give a big round of applause. Y'all come on. Come on up and give.
Seek treasures that soon will be gone, but you died for me once, and I know this is true. So with all of my life, I'm living for you.
Yeah, you go ahead and pass out communion. Romans chapter 5, if you want to turn there. Time to take communion, guys. Romans chapter 5 and chapter 8, if you want to turn to 8 too, you can get there if you want. Once a month, we take communion, if you're new here. We always do it the first weekend of the month. And this is to bring into remembrance what God has done for us. Okay? We don't make it religious. We don't try to be, you know, religious about it in any way. We try to make this just an opportunity to just honor God and say, you know, thank you. You know, I mean, ultimately for going to the cross for us, just thank you for all that you, thanks for being in my presence. Thanks for even considering who I am. Who is man that God is even mindful of him? And we just honor him, and just, we like to start the month off, you know, in the right way, and take an opportunity today to consider yourself, you know, look within yourself and examine. The word is examine. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Examine yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, is there something I need to do different? Is there something I'm doing wrong that could change my prosperity? Is there something I'm doing wrong that could set me free in my family? Is there something I'm doing wrong that I've been doing wrong for years, and the only reason I've hung on to it is because of tradition or because I thought it was the right thing to do? Let me tell you something. At this church, we try to give you the whole word and say, examine it for yourself. No matter what we talk about, I don't care if it's money, sin, or whatever. We give you everything that we think you need to know, and we tell you to examine it for yourself. Don't do it just because the preacher says to do it. Don't do it, and don't say, well, the preacher's just after, oh man, one of them churches, you know, if you're new here and you're thinking, you know, our church never talks about money. That's a problem. That's a problem. If your church don't talk about sin, you know, wherever you go or wherever you've been, and they didn't talk about sin and they didn't talk about money because they're afraid they're going to upset somebody. My friend, the Bible is nothing but a book full of correction. It is full of correction. It's full of edification also, but it's full of correction. It's full of rebuke. There's all through the Word. There are times where, I mean, you could read the Word and get totally offended. Totally. I mean, not just knock you off your feet, knock your shoes off, totally upset you because you've been told your whole life at the old church, or because grandma said, or because mom and all said, or whatever, like Corey already says, mom all said, or grandma always said. We just done it that way for years just because they did it that way. We cannot be a bunch of followers. Now, there is order in following. There's nothing wrong with being a follower, but you know what I'm talking about. You've got to get off the milk of the Word and get onto the meat. Man, you got to get off the milk and start chewing on the sirloin for a little bit. That's the only way to get to the top in God's ways of doing things. You've got to examine it for yourself, even the tough stuff that you don't like to hear. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Man, that's a good scripture. Man, that's a good one. Sin had dominion over man for so many years. It was on us. We couldn't get rid of it. You could only get your sins washed away for a year back in the Old Testament time until Jesus. And when Jesus came in, he said, I can take what you have and totally remove it. Which is what he did. So used to it was just cover the sins. It was like, in other words, here's your sin. I'm going to throw something on it to hide it for a little while. I'm just going to cover it up for a little while. You're still going to have it. I'm just going to cover it up for a little while. But then Jesus. And he said, all that stuff you've been keeping under that cover for so long, he said, I'm taking it all away. I'm going to remove it. Take it away. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. See, sin abounded. Sin was bounding like a frolicking deer. Sin was just bounding all over the place. Like, ha ha, I got you. But Jesus, but when Jesus came, that all changed. That little deer didn't frolic anymore. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, it totally came in and overwhelmed it. Destroyed it. Chapter 8, verse 29. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called them he also justified, and whom he justified he also glorified. Because of this, because of the blood, because of the blood in his body that was beaten and destroyed. Can you imagine what it must have been like to carry that cross up the hill after getting slapped 39 times with that cat of nine tails? You slap me 39 times with a horse whip, that's going to be tough enough. But a cat of nine tails? Them guys were barbaric. They didn't want to just kill you. They wanted you to suffer for a little bit. And the reason they did that is to try to scare the people into submission. But Jesus, he went through it. He went through all of that so that we don't have to submit to sin anymore. Them Romans, they didn't just want to, oh, okay, you know, they'll put him on the chair, we'll strap him down, shoot him up, and maybe he'll fall asleep. No, they wanted to put you on display. They want to beat you up for a little bit, pull your beard, put a crown of thorns on you, slap you with the cat of nine tails, strap you to a post. You can't dodge or, you know, try to dodge the cat of nine tails. They strap you to the post, you were there. And then they take that, then they take you out of your chains, then put the cross on you and make you carry your own cross up the hill. Then, and the reason they put you on the hill is so for everyone to see it. If you mess up, it's going to be you someday. But Jesus, he did it for us. Can you imagine? I often wonder what it would have been like if we, knowing what we know now as Christians, what it would have been like if we would have all been there that day when they were strapping him to the post and carrying. All of us would have wanted to pick up the cross and help him carry it. All of us probably would have wanted his blood on us and not cared about COVID. Get some of that holy anointed blood of Jesus. I'll help you carry that cross, Jesus. We would have all been standing under the cross looking up at him and just letting his blood drip on us. We wouldn't have cared. I mean, I wouldn't have. I don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't have. The persecution was immense. It was destructive. It was barbaric. They wanted to put you on display and put you up on the hill. But then Jesus came along and said, I hold no man guilty. You are set free from death, hell, and the grave. No longer are you a slave to sin because of Jesus. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That tells me that grace was way more magnificent than the sin that those people carried. When God moves in the supernatural, you can't explain it. You just live it and just enjoy it, right? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He justified and glorified and pulled us up out of death, hell, and the grave and said, all you got to do is receive what I did. I went through the barbaric destruction and I was put on the hill, naked on the cross for all the world to see so that you don't have to. What an amazing God he was and is and always has been. Golly, and always will be. Every head bowed, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we examine ourselves. We look in the mirror right now and examine ourselves. And we declare the blood of Jesus over our lives. And Psalm 91 says that 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But no virus will come near us. Not one. We believe it. We receive it. We declare in the mighty name of Jesus, we are protected by the blood of Jesus. And that angels are about around us. We believe that. We stand cleansed before you today, Jesus. Because of what you did. We offer up communion to you and say thank you for your blood and your body that was destroyed for us. If there's anything we're doing wrong, Lord, I ask that you would show it to us, reveal it to us. And if we have sinned, Lord, I ask that you would forgive all of us. If you're sinning somewhere, or you're doing something wrong, just say under your breath if you need to, just whisper it out, you know, God, forgive me. Just say it to yourself. Christ, you forgive me, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive all of us. Teach us your ways. Guide us, Lord. Show us the ways of righteousness and wisdom and understanding, that we may walk worthy to be called your children, your soldiers. In Jesus' name, amen. You may eat and drink. You can pass down your cups to the end or pass them to somebody. We'll put them in the bucket. Youth, go. Okay. Youth and kids, you're dismissed. Big round of applause. Y'all clap for the kids. Yes. Yes. I got to do this right quick. I just feel like God's wanting me to do this. I do this in class, but I want to do it here. I want to do it right here, right now. And is there a microphone? I don't know if I've done this in the past, but I need a microphone. Right quick. Send it down with somebody. Hand it right here. In class, I do what they call good things. And in good things is another warm-up. And we do, I say, you can talk about anything, past, present, or future. Anything good that's going on. I don't care if it's a birthday. This is what I tell the kids. And you can tell me what you want. I don't care if it's a birthday. I don't care if, you know, you're excited about the Super Bowl or, you know, or, hey, this weekend I'm getting a new lizard. Or this is some of the things I hear. You know, I got a new kitty. His name is Fluffy. You know, all that stuff. Just for a second, just for right now, I do this because I want to hear of the testimony. You know, we always talk about, and Corey used to do this a little bit, where he'd have people come up and tell their testimony. I want you to do a quick testimony. Don't start preaching. Just tell me something good. I don't care if it's a birthday or a fluffy kitty. I want you to raise your hand, and I'll come to you. Yes, come here. Good thing.
It is a good thing. God's providing so I can have a new house.
Yes. See? Yes. Past, present, or future?
My granddaughter just turned 22 and she's getting baptized next Sunday.
Yes. Baptism. I'll come meet you halfway.
My daughter was saved here last week.
Awesome. Yes. Hey, you think that's not important or you don't care about that? Wait till you have kids. If you ain't got kids.
My daughter and 2 great-grandchildren are getting baptized next Sunday.
Yes. So we got baptism. So Heidi, I've got a few of them on the list already, but yes. You got a Hold on just a second. You got a fluffy kitty?
Yeah, it's all over my face. He scratched me this morning. But
he did.
I am so thankful.
How did I know you had a fluffy kitty?
I know. For the first time in 6 weeks, I was able to take a breath deep enough to sing.
Yes. Ain't nothing like being able to breathe, right? Yes. Good.
She sounded wonderful.
That's good. Good, good, good.
Today is my son's 24th birthday.
Yes. Doris. I haven't heard much about Doris because she hasn't been here because she's been trying to recover. But she's one of those that you could put her on the front line in the military and she'd fight. She's like, I don't need any weapons. Just give me my hands. All I need is my hands and my fist of fury, right? She's a fighter.
Just want to praise the Lord for Jeanette being back after recovering.
Yes.
Our son, Kevin, is preaching tonight in Bryan College Station. So
yep. Just want to thank you. All right. Yes. Another preacher. Yes. I'm coming. See me run. See that? See how I'm running?
God finally gave me a best friend who's strong in her faith, and we started our own 20s to 30 college Bible study group.
Oh, man. Hey, how many of y'all know that the kids in the end times, it's been prophesied that the youth will rise up? You're seeing it. Now, it's not always good, but you're seeing it. And it's going to happen. You're going to see it. Anybody else? I might do this the whole time, I'm telling you.
My culinary school shared my
My Biscotti all over their page, and it is getting me more business.
Very good. Some guy at Parker's yesterday was telling me he was going to do something for culinary. He was going to try to make a cheesecake out of tortillas. I was like, yes! A man's.
I'm thankful and praise God for healing a broken relationship.
Yes. Ain't nothing like renewed relationships. And especially the ones between you and God, right? Sometimes people get offended at God, right? And they get mad at Him. There ain't nothing like restoring that relationship. Yep.
Oh, the devil tried to kill me. The doctors say I had a stroke. We just don't know. There wasn't any evidence, so here I am.
There you are, sitting in a chair in church, right? Ain't nothing like surviving death, right? Been told you're going to die, and you don't die. What a novel concept, right? Anybody else? You got one? Don't be shy. You raise that hand, Heidi. Come on now.
My husband works in the oil field, and he's been unemployed, and he is headed to Indiana.
Yes. Hey. Woo-hoo-hoo. Y'all don't be moved by legislation. It doesn't own you. It doesn't own you. Don't worry about the Keystone Pipeline. Don't worry about it.
I'm thanking God that He gave me an opportunity to minister to the elderly.
To the elderly? You still do that? Good. Good. You mean run to? You see that? See how fast that?
My daughter's moving here next month, and my grandson, so he's asking if Jesus is a zombie, so I'm going to bring him.
Jesus is a zombie? I dare you to wrap yourself up in toilet paper. I dare you. Wrap yourself up, walk in there like this. Yama, 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 yama. And then lay hands on him, see what happens. Don't injure the kid spiritually, but, you know. Yeah, but mess with him. Scare him into Jesus. Exactly.
I just like to say that when you talk about tithing, mm-hmm. when I first started coming here last January, mm-hmm. I gave more than I've ever done before, and He blessed me with increased pay, mm-hmm. and tithing went up.
Exactly. How many of you can say that? How many of y'all can say that? So if you're not a tither, there's your testimony. And I don't have to go to every one of them. There were 30, 40 hands that went up. God will take care of your money. He will do it, man. He will bless you. Don't do it because the preacher says it, or Corey says it, or Ricky says it, or you know, Rusty says it. Do it because you learned it yourself and said, well, this is accurate. God talked more about money than anything, but more than faith. Talked more about prosperity and money than faith. Can you believe that? I can. You got one? Nah. I have to cut this off eventually. I'm trying to stay away from the microphone so it doesn't whistle.
Just want to thank the Lord for all new friends and old friends.
Absolutely. Mending relationships. Old friends and new friends. Any other testimony? All right.
Yeah, 2020 was a bad year. And we were out for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Had some illnesses and one thing and another. And kind of drifted away. But praise God for His faithfulness, mm-hmm. showing us how for us to be faithful. Mm-hmm. And thank God we're back.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, I'm going to do like I do in class. All right, guys, that's enough. That's enough. All right, now let's get to the lesson, right? All right, turn to page 27, and we will... You can turn to Revelation if you want to, but I'm going to skim through it. 2 Timothy is where you probably need to be. 2 Timothy. You can turn to Revelation 2. I'm going to show you some things. Corey's been preaching about end times. And I said, okay, is there anything specific you want me to go over? He said, and he texts back, anything. I said, okay. So I'm going to tell you kind of what I've seen in the scriptures. And the whole time, everybody's been preaching. Was it Ricky preached end times? Did you preached end times a little bit too, didn't you? After Corey? The whole time y'all are preaching, I'm like reading all this stuff. And I'm like, golly, this is good stuff. And I read ahead. I read ahead a little bit. You know, I'm guilty of that. I'm one of them reader aheaders. Like, go to chapter 2, verse 2, and I'll go to 2, and then I'll look at it, and I'll go to 3, and I'll go to 4, and I'll go to 5. Just keep reading. I'm like, man, this is good stuff. What else is in here, you know? But I want to talk to you right quick about the end times and what it looks like. You're already seeing it, but I guess I want to focus more on what you're seeing, but not necessarily what you're seeing, but what you should be doing. Does that make sense? Not necessarily what you're seeing, but what we should be doing, which will be in 2 Timothy. Okay? A lot of it's in 2 Timothy. So if I titled the message, it'd be Messages to the Churches. Okay? Messages to the Churches. It has covered 7 churches. Laodicea, Thyatira, Pergamos. There's 7 of them. And I'm going to go through all of them, and I'm going to skim through them. I don't have time to read them. But I'm going to skim through those and then get to 2 Timothy. Okay? So if I was to paraphrase, this is what I would paraphrase. When I go to each church, I'm going to paraphrase everything that's said in there. You can write down the verses if you want, but I'm going to paraphrase, okay? So in chapter 2, it talks about the 7 churches, okay? This is Jesus talking to the churches saying, I see what you're doing, that's great, but when Jesus throws in the but, you better pay close attention. Because all the things you're doing right, those are no problem. You don't have to worry about those. Don't get focused on those. But when Jesus says, but I have a problem with you, that's why we examine ourselves, right? That's why we look in the mirror, we examine ourselves to find the things that are wrong, okay? If you got a problem with your house, you don't just let it stay there because it can grow, right? So if you had a mold problem, you can't just let the mold stay there. You'd have to go fix the problem, right? If you had a leaky roof, you can't just let the roof keep leaking, right? You got to go fix the roof. The same applies to your Christianity, the way you walk with Jesus. If something's broken, fix it. The good thing is, it don't matter what's been broken, it's all fixable. All of it. All of it. You can fix all of it. So he goes to Ephesus, and I'm going to tell you the goods and the bads. Some of them he just focused on the good, but there was goods and bads in most of them. When you go to the church of Ephesus, in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, he talks about the good works, good labor, patience, and tolerance of wicked men, and called out those that say they are one thing that they are not. They had endurance, not fainted or exhausted. In other words, they had the ability that they had that what they call persistence, that hang in there skill, that ability to hang in there and fight. He said, I love your works, I love your labor, I love your patience, your intolerance of wicked men. My friends, you've got to get a hold of that. You've got to have an intolerance for wickedness, or you will walk in the world with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. The bad, he says in verse 4 and 5, he says, but you have abandoned your first love. How many of y'all been saved for years? Years and years and years. Long time, right? Okay. I can remember when I was younger what it felt like to be saved. I still remember when I think I was 12 years old, and I walked up and I was scared. I was at the Baptist church, right? Because that's all they, that was one thing they really focused on, was you coming up, you know, and saying, you know, you received Jesus or whatever. I went that way, went all the way down the wall and came up on the side over here, kind of a little spot over there. And I said, okay, God, I hear you talking to me. If this is what you want, then you just tell me. That's how I said it. It was something like that. It was like, if this is what you want, you just tell me. I'll get saved. And I got saved. But your first love will sometimes build you up, and you'll get all excited. Like, yay, this is fun stuff. You'll go around, you'll go telling everybody about God. Then all of a sudden, your light fizzles out. My light fizzled out for 10 years. I beat Corey in this area. I beat Corey. He only did it for 2. I did it for 10. That's the only thing I got over it. Is I lived like a hellraiser for 10 years. Lived in sin, did my own thing, knew there was a God, believed there was a God, always had Him in my heart. Every time I sinned, every time I did something wrong, Holy Spirit was talking to me. I had no idea it was the Holy Ghost. Had no idea till I went to a Bible study in Cedar Park, Texas. Before this church was even founded. Found out about the Holy Ghost. And I was like, oh, so He's a person that He's with us? I thought He was up there in heaven with Jesus and God and all them other angels and stuff. But your first love can fizzle out. And it's going to talk more about it here in just a second. Here a little bit more about very similar things to this. In the church of Smyrna, verse 9 and 10, he said, I love your works. You put up with tribulation and poverty. You withstood abuse and slander from pretenders. And then he goes into mentally preparing them for growth, because they're about to go to prison, he says. But how many of you know you can grow when you've been pressed? You don't get to taste the goodness until it's really been pressed. Till you've been pressed. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go through stuff to get to prosperity. That's not what I'm saying at all. But let me tell you, I can guarantee you, most every person in here can raise your hand and say, I was headed this direction, but then when all hell broke loose and fell on top of me, my life changed forever. Don't worry, because you're not the only one. There's nothing wrong with having bad memories. Don't let bad memories control you, though. You've got to master them. You've got to master your mind. And he says, in Pergamos, the good, he says, you've been hanging on to Jesus. You didn't deny the faith. You hung in there. Verse 14 through 15 says, but you've been hanging on to false doctrine. Maybe believing in God, but still wanting to do some other things. How many of you have ever been there before? Oh, I love church. I like all. Oh, but he's talking about money. Oh, man. Oh, he's talking about sin. Oh, he's talking about homosexuality. You can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It don't work that way. You want to be prosperous God's way, you got to fully commit. You can't put one foot in the church. I mean, it's funny how people that have one foot in the church and one foot in the world are always wanting God to bless them. He's like, you're only getting half the blessing, because you got one foot over here and one foot over there. You're getting like a, you're like living like hell and living like a Jesus freak. You're like, you're on fire for God, but you're really not. Hanging on to false doctrine. I don't care if it's tradition that you learned at the Baptist church or the Methodist church or even another non-denominational church. If you're hanging on to it just because you thought it was right, or because grandma or grandpa or whoever said it was right, you're hanging on to the wrong things. You got to take off the old man and put on the new man. You got to get off the old coat of sin and throw it on the ground and put on the robes of righteousness. That's the only way to the top. And he gets to Thyatira. He says, I love your good works, your love, your faith, your endurance, and you have made your recent works greater than the first ones. In other words, like, you're on fire for God. Like, you're so awesome that you guys are doing greater now than when you first started the church. You're doing amazing things. But, verse 20, you're allowing bad people to stay and corrupt without confronting them. Let me tell you something. In life, when things are going wrong, you can bet that there's either someone or something that doesn't belong. I don't care if it's Jezebel or Jezebel. Get them out. Get a hold of that. Woman or man. They always want to say that Jezebel, you know, God uses, you know, all through Scripture about Jezebel and uses the spirit of Jezebel and talks about Jezebel, etc. But Jezebel had an accomplice. It wasn't just her. It was Ahab and Jezebel. So men, you don't get off that easy. And I've heard preachers talk on television that spirit of Jezebel also talks to men too. And tries to get them to start manipulating. It ain't just for the women. It was just on Jezebel. God didn't tell us the gender of the devil that was influencing Jezebel. He didn't say, well, it was a woman devil or a man devil. He just says the spirit of Jezebel. It don't matter if it's Jezebel or Jezebel, okay? If there's something going wrong, you can bet that there's someone or something that doesn't belong. And when you find out what that is, your life starts changing. He goes to Sardis in chapter 3. He said, you have heard well the word preached. The bad thing is, but you haven't lived the word. You look like and act like everything is good, but you are dying on the inside. You have got to keep putting wood on your fire. All you cowboys out there that know how to start a fire, the fire eventually goes out, doesn't it? And if you don't keep throwing wood on there or something that keeps the fire going, the fire goes out. He said, you've heard well the word preached. but you haven't lived the Word. You look and act like everything is good, but you are dying on the inside. My friends, if you're dying on the inside, it don't matter what the outside looks like. You can drive a brand new Ferrari. If the motor don't work, it's just a Ferrari. Keep putting wood on the fire. And if you read that, I think in the Amplified, it says, lay the Word to your heart and obey and stay awake. Do not fall asleep as a Christian. I was listening to a minister last night, and I've been hearing this a lot from preachers. You are going to have to learn how to pray in these end times. It ain't about just going in and talking to Jesus and talking about fluffy kittens and rainbows and unicorns. You are going to have to go in there, and you might have to go to war spiritually. You can't just go in there and say, I lift up Billy and I lift up Bobby. These are all good things. But sometimes it might require more. And you know what? You might have to stay a little longer than what you've been staying. Oh, 5 minutes? I'm okay with starting with a few minutes to get you going. But you're not going to be able to stay there. You cannot stay in God's presence. I mean, if you really want to experience God, does God move on your time? No. Do you think He cares about your time? No. Do you think He's moved by the fact that you might have to go get these chores done? No. He's going to show up when He wants to. And when He shows up, if you're willing to stay a little longer, you might hear something. You're going to have to learn how to pray. You're going to have to learn how to not only pray for Billy and Bobby and John and pray for your job and pray for your car and pray for the... You're going to have to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's coming, baby, I'm telling you. But don't be moved by what you're seeing at the federal... Don't be moved by that. Don't be worried about Keystone Pipeline. Don't be worried about laws that are passing for the homosexuals or whatever. And I say that with all due respect. I'm not trying to label them or put them in a category. I don't care what they say about your race or about certain jobs that, you know, they're passing legislation about, you know, getting rid of this. I don't know how one man can go in there with a stroke of a pen and say, hey, we're not going to do oil anymore. Whatever happened to just letting people do it, man? Whatever happened to just letting people work? That stuff makes me angry. I don't know. I could get really angry. I talk about that all day long. Who gives him the right to walk in and say, you know, and say that we can't do oil anymore? You remember in the early 1900s when they confiscated all the gold? I know most of y'all, y'all weren't around. You have to read about it. Some of y'all might have been around. I'm not calling names. But in the early 1900s, they confiscated all the gold. Why? Because they want to control. My friends, the spirit of Antichrist is not coming just at the end time. He's already here. He's already in our presence and working at the highest level to get done what He wants to get done. And He's going to try to control everything. He's going to try to control the churches. He's going to try to push, you know, churches underground. He's going to try to scare you into submission. Do not think that just because we're in America that we're exempt. My friends, you're seeing it happen. People becoming more bold to talk against Christianity. They're becoming more bold to talk about anybody who doesn't agree with them. I heard it best said the other day, and I'm not picking on liberals, but if Jesus was writing to Congress today, He would say, you're doing a great job, but Senate and House, I heard it best said the other day. They're not trying to shut you down because they disagree with you. They're trying to shut you down because they don't want to have the argument anymore. They don't want to have the argument. They already think we're a bunch of idiots anyway. Trump supporters or Jesus people, going to church, you're tithing and you're believing in all that washed in the blood stuff. They're becoming even more bold now to speak out and say, if we don't agree with you, we'll shut you off. If they can do it to the highest man in the country, they can do it to you. It's not because they don't disagree with it. It's not that they disagree with you. They could care less what you believe. They don't care as long as you do what they want you to. They just don't want to have the argument anymore. Devils want to shut you up. They don't care that you're a Christian. They want to destroy you, yes. They just don't want to have the argument with you anymore. Devils don't actually start fighting you until you walk up and say, I receive Jesus as my Lord. That's when devils kick in. Because when you live like hell, devils don't need to influence you right now. They'll go out of their way and try to put you in some situations. Don't get me wrong. But they really don't start fighting until you start submitting to God. Your whole life, before you were saved, you were submitted to Satan and didn't even know it. Now, does that mean you were possessed by the devil? No. But you were submitted to him. You were walking according to his ways of doing things. But it's not until you actually take a stand and say, no more, that you actually start having to learn how to fight. And then you start learning what that means to be a soldier in the army of Christ and not just a child of God anymore. Then he goes to Philadelphia and he talks about a lot of good things. He says, they have held fast to the word, and all those that have persecuted them, they will bow at their feet. Let me tell you something, what's going to happen in these end times. They might persecute you, but one day, they're going to bow at your feet. They're going to bow at your feet, and they're going to say, forgive me. What do I need to do to receive Christ? They're going to be coming to you. They might come crawling to you, asking for you to forgive them, saying, what do you have? What do you possess that I don't have? What is it that's making you so special? Oh, and then they'll go. They might already be saved before they ever get back to you. They just want your forgiveness. It says they will bow at our feet. He goes to Laodicea and immediately goes into the bad and says, you're lukewarm. You claim that you were rich and needing nothing, but really you're a bunch of broke poverty. You're broke and disgusted. You are full of poverty. You're lukewarm. Let me tell you something. Rich don't make you wealthy. And rich don't make you righteous either. Ain't nothing wrong with having money. But apparently this church was a little bit lukewarm, and they thought, well, we got everything. We're good. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's talking to Timothy. He says, I charge thee, verse 1, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now he's talking to a preacher, but he's also talking to you. My friends, if you are saved, righteous, receive Jesus, my friends, you are going to carry the gospel into the world, not just the preachers. It is your responsibility to take the gospel to the whole world. For the time will come, talking about end times here, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they want to stay lukewarm. They want to receive Jesus. They want to be in the church, but they still want to stay in the world just a little bit. Because in the world, it's fun, right? Let me tell you something. I'm not going to lie to you. Sin was fun, but it ain't right. It's like people, when I was growing up, they always used to say, you know, don't take steroids. Don't take testosterone. That stuff, it doesn't work. It's bad for you. It doesn't work. It works, my friends. It works. Is it good for you? No. To take it in those levels, if you don't need testosterone, and you're taking testosterone just to build muscle, it works. Is it right? No. You're destroying yourself. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they'll go to church. They don't want to hear anything about sin. They won't talk about money. They won't talk about, you know, you've been living like hell. You need to repent. They won't want to hear that. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. My friends, you're seeing it on the news broadcast. These are supposed to be the smartest people in the world. And they're bringing people on. And they know this stuff is a lie. And it's possible that they've been given over to, what's the term? A reprobate mind. They've been turned up. God's turned them over. And say, if you're going to walk that way, because if you read in Revelation where it talks about Jezebel, God gave Jezebel an opportunity. It says, I have given her a time. I've given her a space of time and gave her an opportunity to repent. As bad as she was, God gave her an opportunity to repent. He said, but she wouldn't. And I'm sure he gave her over to a reprobate mind. He said, you're going to be just like her. I'm going to throw you in the same bed that she lies in. She destroyed the prophets, huh? Yeah, Revelation, I think it was Thyatira. Oh, the what? Oh, God. I've got you. I'm following you now. Those are smart people. Yeah. God is giving certain people an opportunity. And in these end times, you're going to see God say, you know what? You can go over there. He's going to turn them over to reprobate mind. And they're going to actually, I don't know if they are yet, or if they're just trying to push a doctrine or the propaganda. I don't know if they're just doing the propaganda or if they actually believe this nonsense. They'll bring in all kinds of people. Bring in all kinds of smart people from Harvard and Yale. Oh boy, well they must know. What do you think about Trump, whatever he did? Oh, Biden, he's so wonderful. He's the fluffy kitten. He's the rainbow. He's the unicorn. He's everything they've been wanting. Oh, God, thank God he's in there. We still got to pray for him. Don't agree with him. I know it's tough. I want to say, God, I lift up. Yo, President-elect Joe Biden. Oh God, thank God I got that out. Prayer time is so much better after you get that out, right? You know what's amazing is that God wants to save him too. And Saki and all of them. Kamala, I don't know if they're saved. They say they're Catholics, but I mean, there's priests that are saying, you know what? They say they're Catholic. I can't vouch for them. That's not good. If I was the president, you know, if my church can't vouch for me, then that's not good. Yeah. Well, he might be one foot in the world, one foot in the church, maybe. I don't know. But God wants to save all of them too. And there might come a time when I'm telling you the whole Congress, every one of them are just, they're gone. They're done. And God brings in new people. We don't know. I mean, if COVID can happen, we can all walk around wearing masks all over the world. Anything's possible, guys. Anything. If one virus can make everybody on the planet wear a mask, shut down economies, destroy countries, you think God can't take some people out, move them out of the way, say, you're done? You know what it's done is it's made us closer. They think that they're separating us, but they're not. They're drawing us closer. And they don't realize that. They don't see that. They don't see with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. They're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All they know is they want to shut us off. Turn them off. Turn them off. Turn them off. Turn them down. Chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm getting ready to close. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now think about this. When I talked about the churches and everything that you saw with the churches, everything they were doing right, but everything they were doing wrong. You're going to see that more in these times. But we're not going to focus on what we're seeing. We're going to focus on what we should be doing. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance, see if you can see yourself in these scriptures. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Ain't nothing like praying grandmas. There's lots of pastors that can say, if it wasn't for grandma, I'd have been dead or in jail. But grandma, but Lois, and thy mother Eunice, thank God for praying mamas, and I am persuaded that in thee also. He said, in other words, you have the same faith grandma and mama had. Because I believe it. Wherefore I put in thee remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. What is that? That is praying in the Holy Spirit. You have got to stir up the Holy Ghost. You don't know what to say, just start saying something. And all of a sudden, it'll just start stirring up on the inside. All of a sudden, you'll be walking like a lion. Oh, there's a lion over there. I'll just take him out. I'm telling you, you have boldness that you can't comprehend. You got to stir up the faith. Stirring up the gift of God, verse 6, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. You have a sound mind because you have power and love. It's because you have power and love. That's the reason you have a sound mind. Because you realize who you are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you're not going to understand the power. You're not going to understand the love. Therefore, you probably won't have a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. In other words, he's saying, hang in there. Don't give up. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This existed before the world even existed. The power and love and the sound mind you have existed. The grace that God gave us existed before the planet, before the universe. It's been here for a long time. It's been operating for a really long time. But is now, verse 10, made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded. If you're not persuaded, you're going to be one of the churches, of the seven churches that Jesus was talking about in Revelation. You have to be fully persuaded. You have to have endurance. You have to have the knowledge of God. You got to have the wisdom. Don't let God or Jesus come down and throw a butt in your face because you ain't doing it right. But he will. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast that the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ. Hold fast. He's basically talking about the churches, the seven churches right here. He's talking about all those things. Hang in there, have endurance, have faith, hear the word, do the word. Not just hear only, but be a doer of the word. Don't act like you're rich when you ain't got nothing spiritually. I don't care how much money you got. If you ain't got it spiritually, you ain't got it. Your money is useless in the kingdom of God. Verse 14, the good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the what? The Holy Ghost. How do you keep things? How do you keep things spiritually? Praying in the Holy Ghost. He's saying, hang on to them. When you go in that prayer closet, stir up your faith. Do not be ashamed. Stir up your faith in the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. Wow. Remember when Creflo Dollar said when he was sick, remember? He went to the hospital. And they took an x-ray of his stomach. Remember that he talked about? And on the x-ray, they couldn't figure out what it was, but it looked like a man. And Creflo finally got the revelation. The Holy Spirit said, "Didn't I tell you there was a man living on the inside of you? It's not just your spirit, man. He's right here. The creator of the universe that hovered over the waters before the oceans existed. He's right here." "This thou knowest, that all which are in Asia be turned away from me." Let me read the Amplified. He says, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in the province of Asia turned away and deserted me." Does that sound like one of the churches? You're going to see it in these times. You're going to see deserted. You're going to see people deserting the faith. You're going to see Christians deserting other Christians, giving up on people. You're going to see people walking away from the faith because the faith ain't working. Verse 16, it says, "The Lord grant mercy to the family of Onesiphorus because he often refreshed me and showed me kindness." That is what Christians do. "He often refreshed me and showed me kindness, comforting and reviving me." This is the Amplified. "Me like fresh air. And he was not ashamed of my change for Christ's sake. But instead, when he reached Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord on the great day." You know very well how many things he did for me and what a help he was in Ephesus. The times don't get really that much better, but we do. We do. The devil might win a few battles, but he ain't going to win the war. He won't win the war. Now, that's the one that matters. That's the one that really matters. You might kick our tails around for a little while, devil. But when Jesus corrects you, you ain't got no say. And when he locks you in hell for 1,000 years, devil, he gonna put the Bible says he puts a seal on him. Stamps him. You're done. For 1,000 years. Then he comes out, and then guess what? He goes back in. Well, that must be really something when you're a hellraiser and you're a devil, and you're. And can you imagine what Satan must feel like? You know, he's lived for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. Was the most beautifully adorned creature in the universe. Gets kicked out of heaven. First step. Second step, he's going to be locked into hell. Put a seal on him for 1,000 years. Then God's going to say, "All right, watch this. I'm going to break the seal and I'm going to let you come out and play for a little while. And then when we're done, I'm going to put you back down there forever." Forever. You talk about that's a major fall when you are the most beautifully adorned creature in heaven. And now you're nothing but a toadstool, a bump on a log, a nothing, a nobody. And God uses him for his glory. God uses everything that Satan does to people, he uses it for his glory, to build his kingdom. Does God need us? No, he don't need us. But he wants us. Did he have to even consider sending Jesus? No, he didn't have to even think about it. He could have just wiped us all out. Like he was going to do when Moses was on the mountain. I'm wiping them all out. God's like, "I'm going to wipe them all out." Moses started interceding. Let me tell you, intercession prayer works. He interceded for all those hundreds of thousands of people down there worshiping the golden calf. God was going to wipe them out. He could have wiped us all out in the days like he did in the days of Noah. He could have, but he didn't. He sent one man. Who is the firstborn among many, which is us. He said, instead of destroying the ones operating in sin, I'm just going to destroy sin itself. That's Jesus. That's what he did. One man. One man's righteousness makes us all righteous. What a story to tell. What a story. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anybody here today that has not received Jesus as their Lord, I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. You won't have to go to the side like I did, embarrassed or ashamed. Our job is not to shame you into receiving Jesus. Our job is to tell you how to receive Jesus and leave it up to you. If you are not saved today, I want you to receive Jesus by praying this prayer. And by praying this prayer, when you pray this prayer and you mean what you say, you receive Jesus, you get serious with God and you say, "Yes, I receive you, Jesus. I believe if you do this today, that your days will be better. You will go to heaven when you leave this earth. When the rapture happens, you are out on the first boat," like Corey said. You're out on the first boat. You're getting on the first one. You don't have to go down with the ship. So I urge you today, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord, today is your opportunity. All you have to do is pray this prayer with all of us. And if I believe that if you pray this prayer and receive Jesus as your Lord, that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. You're only going two directions. You're either going up or you're going down. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You only have two options. But the options are totally up to you. You have to decide with your own mouth and your own mind and your own heart that this is what you want. God wants a total commitment from you. So if you're not saved today, I want you to pray this prayer. We're all going to pray it with you. It won't be just you. The whole church will pray it with you. Pray this prayer after me. Say it like this. Say, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior today, right now, in Jesus' name." Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you receive Jesus for the very first time, not that you prayed that prayer for the first time. If you've already saved, don't raise your hand. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you received Jesus today for the very first time, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. And by raising your hand, you're saying, "That was me. I received Jesus for the first time today." On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Is there anybody? Anybody? All right, look at me. Very good. All right, so you're all saved. That's good. Very, very good. Got a few quick announcements before I get Ricky up here. I'm glad I got your microphone, huh? Oh, God, you little rascal. Always ahead, aren't you? Trying to one-up me, aren't you? A few quick announcements. First of all, if you look at the floor right here. Okay, now when you leave out of here and you look at the floor over there in the hallway, that one looks much better than this one. You know why? Because we didn't do this one the right way when we first did it. Some of it we did okay, but the rest of it, we really didn't do it correctly. And the reason is because we sealed this floor and before we stained it. And that's what caused it to stay on top. That's why you can see spots where our shoes rub off, or you can see tape marks where we've put tape down for, like, you know, special events that we have here or whatever. We are redoing this whole floor, okay? It's $18,000, okay? Which is really good compared to what it normally would be. It's usually like $250 a square foot. They're doing it cheaper, and they're also tearing all of the stuff up and getting that off before they put it down. Usually it's like $250 a square foot on a brand new house that doesn't have anything on it. Pretty good deal, okay? If you would like to give to that, okay, let people, you know, put it on the envelope, or if you still have your envelope, or next Sunday when you come, if you'd like to contribute to that, put it on the envelope. I would like to give, you know, $500, but $100 of this goes to the floor, whatever, okay? We're going to make this floor look like that one out there, okay? It's going to look shiny and beautiful, okay? So that's what we got a bid on. We're believing for that. You know, if you're new here, you know, you probably don't know that we have done everything here debt-free. We did not take out a loan to build this church. I can still remember being up there on a scissor lift at 30-degree temperatures trying to hang on to a piece of sheet metal and the wind was blowing. We built it. We did it. I helped stain the floors. I helped hang the walls. A lot of you in here could probably say the same thing. We actually built this place. We are debt-free. We do everything without debt, okay? So until we have the money, we ain't doing it. So if you'd like to contribute to that, just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys. And then also, before we leave, I forgot to announce the kids' church has toilets and they're working now. I forgot to do that. Forgot to tell them, Daryl. Some of y'all are like, hey, you know how long my wife's been going, like, come on now, I hope we can get to, let's finance it. We need to get the finance. We need a toilet. You know why? Because she used to have to haul them from way out there in the rain all the way up to here. For her, a toilet is a big deal. Big deal. To have toilet paper in there, it's a big deal. We have running toilets in our kids. We have a kid's building that's finished or almost finished. But it's functioning. And if you need sponsorships, or if you'd like to sponsor our rodeo, this is the last thing before I get to picking up the chairs. Our big rodeo is coming up in April. It's the biggest event we do all year. Thousands of people here. We're actually having the carnival here too. They couldn't come last year because the state wouldn't let carnivals come in. Carnival's coming. All the stuff that we used to do back in 2019. Y'all remember 2019, before we wore masks, y'all remember those? When we were able to walk around without face guards on and talking to people and they couldn't hear you because you got the mask on. But we're having our rodeo. If you would like to sponsor personally, or if you would like to sponsor through your business, or if you think your business might want to sponsor, please see Mike. He's right there. Raise his hand. Everybody sees Mike. We've run out of things to sponsor, so we have created things that you can sponsor. We don't care if it's a dollar, $1,000, $1,000,000. Whatever you want to give, go see Mike, okay? Our big event, it's coming up in just a couple of months, okay? About 3 months, we'll be there, okay? And before we get out of here, if you could please grab a chair and put it on one of these racks, we'd appreciate it because we're going to clean this floor that we're going to tear up eventually anyway. Yes?
Farm fresh eggs.
Yes. Goes to the arena. If you want a thing of eggs, go get them. I'll leave my stuff here. I'll get out of your way. Oh, yes. And oh, you're trying to get me out of here, weren't you? Okay, work day at the arena for February the 13th has been canceled due to weather. Okay, February 13th. So that's next Saturday, right? Because the weather is going to be pretty frigid.
Gordon said his workers work very tough or
something. Oh, come on. Hey. Okay, whatever, you finish it. I'll get out of here.
You're doing great. Hey, how about a big round of applause for Howdy? Woo! You know, I was thinking back to that one scripture that Howdy talked about. I want y'all to know, if you didn't catch it, you can tell that Howdy's been in the Word a lot this week because he's full of wisdom, because look how much energy he had. Woo! Jesus! See, the Word says, it's what he told us a while ago, wisdom gives us energy. This man is the wisdom energizer bunny today. He is fired up. How about that Word? Y'all give him one more big round of applause. And also, don't forget about Bible study on Tuesday nights. If you haven't plugged in, come plug in with us. Everybody is together. Start fellowships at 6:30. We start at 7. And it's an awesome time that when you can ask questions if you don't understand something. Because a lot of times when Howdy's preaching, or Corey, or Rusty, or I, and we say something and you're like, and then it's gone. You know, it's like, so if you come to something like that, write it down. And then come on Tuesday night, because there's enough us teachers there that if one of us doesn't know, somebody else may. And if not, we'll help you find out. Because that's one thing that our pastor teaches us here is we're going to give it to you just like what it says in the Word, but then it's your job to find out if we're telling you how it is. Don't just believe what we say. Go home and find out for yourself. That's what God wants us to do. Do like Howdy, man. Get energized in the Word. I'm almost tired after that. That was good. He was fired up. Howdy doesn't get a salary for preaching. He doesn't get paid to preach. He's like me and Rusty. We just preach because that's what the Lord has us to do. But if God puts it on your heart to give to Howdy, this is today Howdy's box. So if you want to write a check, you can make it to Howdy Byers Ministries. Is that right, Howdy? Right? And or if you want to give cash but you want a letter receipt back from Howdy, then be sure and fill out, put it in the envelope. And again, Howdy Byers Ministries. Howdy, did we get all of the announcements in? We did get all of the announcements in. All right, yes, stand to your feet. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Father God, we thank you Thank you for using Howdy today to bring us that message, Father God, that message of power, love, and sound mind. Father, that we turn to you for that power, that dunamis power from Jesus, just like Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. We know that you never leave us, that when we leave here, that you don't stay here, but that you go with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed.